Mr. Chair, Austria aligns itself with the EU statement on Cluster 1 and the statement delivered by Norway on irreversibility in nuclear disarmament. We also want to recall our support to last year's joint statement on transparency and accountability, reiterated and further developed by the statement on this issue delivered by Switzerland yesterday. Mr. Chair, it is becoming ever more difficult to write an NPT statement for Cluster 1. Nuclear disarmament, a central pillar of the NPT bargain or equilibrium, is in a dismal state. Article 6 is not implemented and the disarmament commitments are ignored. In light of so many developments that go in exactly the opposite direction, it is hard to discern any intention in this direction by nuclear weapon states. What is one to conclude from the fact that the annual global nuclear weapons spending has surged to more than $90 billion per year? These are long-term investments into modernizations of nuclear weapons infrastructure and a demonstration of intent of long-term reliance on nuclear weapons. Decisions to increase capabilities of nuclear forces are taken in all nuclear weapon states. Moreover, some add new or additional types of nuclear weapons and improve the capability to produce them. Some have increased the readiness of nuclear forces, nuclear doctrines are being broadened, nuclear agreements are abandoned. One state party has removed the nuclear ban from its constitution. Nuclear weapons are stationed in additional countries. There are plans to deploy intermediate-range missiles. We are alarmed about nuclear threats and blackmail, such as from Russia, in the context of its illegal invasion of Ukraine, and more broadly, an increasingly strident nuclear rhetoric that risks to normalize the use of nuclear weapons. Mr. Chair, all these developments are greatly disconcerting and increase the high level of risks and fundamentally undermine the NPT. Nuclear disarmament should mean two things in order to be credible. A, an actual reductions, removal and destruction of nuclear weapons, and B, credible steps away from a security approach based on these weapons and the threat of mass destruction and indiscriminate nuclear violence. We are concerned that bilateral nuclear arms control between the US and Russia has come to a halt. We urge both states not to let the New START treaty expire in 2026 and return with urgency to nuclear arms control negotiations. We note the US proposal for such talks with Russia and China, and we urge all nuclear weapon states to be engaged in this as committed to at the 2010 action plan. As far as steps away from reliance on nuclear weapons are concerned, there are only the above-cited developments that point in the opposite direction. Obviously, geopolitics drive this and the very entrenched belief that nuclear deterrence provides security and will continue to do so in the foreseeable future. For this to change, a paradigm shift on the security perception around nuclear weapons and nuclear deterrence would be necessary. We urgently need to have an honest conversation about this, especially within the NPT. A security approach that is based on nuclear deterrence, by definition, concerns the entire international community, given that the risks and consequences of failure would be borne by all humanity. In this context, let me stress also the importance of transparency and accountability by the nuclear weapon states vis-à-vis the international community. Nuclear deterrence is a high-risk approach to international security. Ambiguities and risk-taking are woven into the very fabric of nuclear deterrence. These risks are getting more pronounced by geopolitical tensions, new technologies, proliferation pressures, and the weakening of the legal and normative framework for nuclear weapons. Consequently, there is no assurance that nuclear deterrence will hold in any crisis situation. It is a fragile and precarious psychological construct. Miscalculations, misinformation, human and technical errors are always possible. The uncertain stability benefits needs to be weighed against the risks inherent in nuclear deterrence and against the increasing body of scientific evidence of the catastrophic global impact of nuclear weapons. The security approach creates acute threats and risks for the entire international community, and it raises profound questions about international legitimacy of and international and intergenerational justice. Security cannot and should not be a zero-sum game. For the non-nuclear majority, however, nuclear weapons are the ultimate zero-sum game approach. Those who argue the value of nuclear weapons should engage with the legitimate concerns that this very approach creates for the rest of the international community. Mr. Chair, this is the rationale on which the TPNW is based. It expresses in international law the scientific evidence on the humanitarian and environmental consequences of and the risks associated with nuclear weapons. It articulates a legitimate security perspective. DPNW states parties are investing into the multilateral nuclear disarmament and non-proliferation regime. Regrettably, Mr. Chair, we still see some reflexive and politically motivated criticisms of the DPNW by some that, however, fail to engage with the actual arguments and legitimate concerns expressed through the DPNW. We sincerely hope that this will change. The engagement with this scientific evidence leads to urgent policy conclusions that must follow from this evidence and points the way out of the unsustainable security paradigm that is based on the threat of mass destruction. In the 21st century, this should really be considered as absolutely inadmissible by all. I thank you.